listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Dr. Kate DeVries. I work for the Young Adult Ministry Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. It is the third week of Advent, and we are delighted to be with you this morning. I am here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you today?
I am very fine, thank you. How are you?
The third week of Advent.
Right. Oh my goodness, Christmas is coming.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do some fun things today, we believe, on our monthly radio show. We direct the Catholic Church's outreach to those who are in their 20s and 30s, both single and married, yes, young adults. And this is the time of the year the church is almost in counterculture to the popular culture in which we live. Everybody is still ramping up Christmas and you know, everywhere you go, once it gets dark, the lights are everywhere. And, you know, we're talking about how many days to Christmas and shopping and on and on and on. And yet you walk into any of our Catholic churches and there's not a hint that it's Christmas because
yet.
It's the Advent season where we sort of focus on the coming of the Lord. Advenio, Advent, Advenio, the Latin word, means to come. And interestingly, folks, for about the first 1,000 years of Christianity, the celebration of the birth of Christ was the celebration of the second coming of Christ. And then it was with Francis of Assisi in the 1200s sometimes, some people say 1223, when they began to focus more on the nativity scene with Mary and a baby and Joseph and animals and so on and so forth. And so today I think what we're going to do, Kate, is sort of a twofold kind of thing. Am I correct?
You're correct. And just to add to what you said, that sense of the world being so hassled and rushing from place to place to place. And in our churches, we are slowing down.
Right.
We are calm. We are relaxed. We are finding the peace. The song we opened with was Come Lord Jesus by John and Gotti on his Awake to the Day. And truly, it's all about Come Lord Jesus.
Yep.
Come to us anew this season.
Right.
We experience it in our liturgy with the different colors. We've got the purple going. We've got different music happening. We've got a more relaxed feel.
Sure.
We've got this sense of longing, this sense of hopefulness, this sense of joy and anticipation for the arrival of Christ yet again on Christmas. It's just a special, sacred time.
And we hope that today, those of you who might be listening to this live, whether you know in your homes or those of you who might be driving around the Chicago area, we're going to have this up on our website within about a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be a kind of a Advent slash Christmas reflection that you may want to listen to again, perhaps on a computer or upload to all these various devices that people can use when they put those little buds in their ears and they're either out for a walk or a run or exercising or whatever.
On the train.
Exactly.
Between waiting in line.
Sure. Taking the train
at
to
the
work.
Store.
You're on the red line coming down from 95th Street.
Okay.
You're on the green line coming from Oak Park and the blue line coming from O'Hare, so on and so forth. But anyhow, we want to make this available so that in these last 10 days before Christmas, if somebody would say, you know, I just need to slow down the engine for a little while.
Yeah.
And then we're going to provide some music today. We're going to provide a wonderful prayer poem by a very, very, first of all, dear friend and in a great poet, John Shea. And then in about 20 minutes, we're going to have the privilege of having with us, through the miracles of telephone technology, Father Michael Sparrow. And those of you who know Father Sparrow know that he is just a his spirituality, his sense of the Jesuit, the Ignatian tradition is just so wonderful. And he's going to give us some principles on how to do a guided meditation by ourselves.
Yes.
And then he is going to share with us a wonderful piece of scripture on the birth of Christ and share with us one of the reflections that he has written based on that. So that's going to be our show today. A little Advent, a little moving into Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully you can upload this off of a computer someplace and at your leisure or when you think that it's getting a little nutty.
you need a sense of peace and calm.
We're going to ask you. This would be a great time to play this.
And just to elaborate on what Father Cusick said about the guided meditation, we had the privilege of being with Father Sparrow for Longing for the Light, which was a day of reflection about Advent that we did in collaboration with Loyola University's Institute for Pastoral Studies. And at that time, Father Sparrow did this meditation. And a guided meditation is basically a peaceful, prayerful walk where you really do put yourself in God's presence and allow a narrator, a piece of music, a piece of scripture to guide you through a particular encounter with our God of life and love. So Father Sparrow guided us into communion with Jesus and invited us into a conversation with Jesus in our own thoughts and imaginations. We talk about the Catholic imagination, which is a wonderful resource. But as Catholics, there are so many different tools at our disposal that we don't always take advantage of. So today in particular, we wanted not to do the guided meditation for you, but to give you the strategies to do it yourself. So that's what that second piece is all about. But Father Cusick, can I ask you, just because I just touched on what happens in our liturgy but didn't touch on the Advent wreath, could you just enlighten us a little bit? I love hearing you explain the signs and symbols, the symbol of that wreath and what goes on with the lighting of the candles.
Well, in the Advent wreaths, in our churches, there's actually three different things that are there. There's the Advent wreath, which originally was a barn wheel. I mean, a wagon wheel.
A wagon wheel
is flipped over, and very much like a wedding band. A wheel has no beginning and no end. So mm-hmm. you've got that sense of the eternal presence symbolized in a wheel. And then you wrap greenery around it.
Mm.
It's pretty hard to find green things in December. And
wow.
So what you have is something that is ever green.
Yes.
Something that is
yes.
ever present to us. And then I find what's amazing, Kate, is each week as the days get shorter, we start with one light, then two lights. On the third shortest week of the – last shortest week of the year, we light three. And then near the winter solstice, when it's the darkest time of the year, we light a fourth light.
Yes.
In anticipation of the coming of the light of the world. It's pretty hard, and I mentioned this on Sunday, pretty hard to understand, you know, when you've got all this electricity and you walk in on Sunday morning and everything is lighted up and here you got some candles.
Right.
But folks, consider that a lot of these traditions of Advent Christmas came out of Northern Europe. And masses, I remember when I was a little boy serving mass at Little Flower, you went to early morning mass because you could receive communion because you had the fast from midnight. Well, let's say mass is at 6, 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning and you're in a little village and it's dark until 9 o'clock in the morning this time of the year. And all of a sudden, 4 weeks before Christmas, a single light enters the church. And next week, when it's even darker, a second light enters the church. The third week, a third light. And the darkest week of the year, a fourth light is placed in this wreath that is evergreen and a symbol of the eternal presence of God. And when we come back the next time, we are celebrating the light of the world, the birth of Christ. And I think that's how it works. It's hard for us to see that in the light, but imagine people in a dark church in a cold December day, they could really get that a lot more than we do.
Yes.
But we keep the symbolism because the symbolism reminds us of the presence of the Lord.
And it's also something we can do in our homes. We can have an Advent wreath in our home. We can have a little branch of the Christmas tree,
sure,
you know, wrapped around, you know, four candles or even one candle to give us the reminder that Christ our light is with us and again coming to us, longs to be with us forever and ever and ever, so that that peacefulness can, we can go there at any time. And even if you can't go there, if you're sitting at a train, just to close your eyes and imagine the Advent wreath at church with the candle lit, just to rest in God's loving embrace for,
exactly,
you know.
Whew. Or if it's the third week of Advent, close your eyes and imagine three lights in a dark room.
There you go. We're going to take a break. Thank you so much for being with us. We are talking about Advent and ways of being part of the Spirit as we anticipate Christmas, and we will be right back.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to The Light Show, hosted today by Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries from the Young Adult Ministry Office. We are delighted to be with you today just for Advent reflections, just to talk about Christ in our midst and look at a few strategies for staying connected to that peace and that calm that Jesus invites us into.
And we're going to begin in a very interesting way. We're going to focus on one of the great biblical characters that is a part of our tradition this time of the year, and that's John the Baptist. And remember, John said, "I'm not the light, but I've come to testify to the one in your midst who is the light." And so we're going to share with you a prayer poem written by John Shea. It's called "The Man Who Was a Lamp." I think you might enjoy it. It's going to take a little while, but this is a part of the day. We're going to be peaceful. And we're going to begin this to try to get ourselves a little bit focused on the one who is coming, the light of the world.
Legend says the cave of Christmas, where the child of light burns in the darkness, is hidden in the center of the earth.
Now, access is not easy. You cannot just amble to a mantle, note the craft of the crib child, and return to the party for more eggnog. You may see a figurine in that way, but you will not find the child of light. The center of the earth is not the surface. You must journey, and wayfarer, you need a guide.
His name is John, a man who was a lamp. At least that's what Jesus said. A burning and shining lamp. The implication is clear. The lamp is a torch through the darkness to find the light of the world. As the lamp comes closer to the light, its radiance is overwhelmed. It is in the presence of a stronger shining. It decreases as the light increases. Yet there is no comparison. The child cannot be found by competition. The lamp and the light meet in the mystery of communion. The two become one while remaining two. Follow John and find Jesus. Find Jesus and find the fullness of John.
But John is not so easy to follow. He is no toady. He lacks servility, and he does not work for pay. In truth, he is more guardian than guide, more dragon at the gate than porter at the door, more fire on the earth than lamp on a stand, opposite of the sought-after child in every way. The child is round. This John has edges. The child nurses on virgin's milk. This one crunches locusts. The child is wrapped in swaddling clothes, and this one is rubbed raw by camel's hair. Yet they know each other, even exchange smiles. They share a mystery, this hairy man and smooth child.
Jesus came out of John as surely as he came out of Mary. John was the desert soil in which the flower of Jesus grew. John was the voice in the wilderness who taught Jesus to hear the voice from the sky. John would push sinners beneath the water, and Jesus would resurrect them on the waves. John was the fast who prepared for Jesus the feast.
No man ever less a shepherd than John, yet loved by one.
If you are surprised that Jesus came from John, imagine John's prophetic puzzle when the predicted wrath to come came and said, "Let's eat." John expected an axe to the root of the tree, and instead he found a gardener hoeing around it. He dreamt of a man with a winnowing fan and a fire, and along came a singing seed scatterer. He welcomed wrathful verdicts and found a bridegroom on the bench. When John said, "There is one among you whom you do not know," he spoke from experience.
So from prison, John sent his disciples to Jesus. He will send you too. Now, despite his reputation, he is best at introductions. It is simply who he is: preparer, primer, pointer. A tongue always on the verge of exclaiming, "Behold!"
His question was, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?"
This arrow of a question was sent from prison, but the bow was bent in the desert by none greater born of woman, who was awake before the sun, waiting, watching the vipers flee before the morning his eyes welcomed.
"Are you the one who is to come?" is the question of John Highway, his road under construction, hammer and pick and hard hat song, "I have leveled a mountain and raised a valley to make even the path of the Lord."
"And you are the mountain," his sunburnt muscles are slamming to cracked rock. "You are the valley," his tattooed arms are filled with broken earth. He will trowel you to smooth. And when there is no impediment, when there is nothing in you which would cause a child to trip, you will yearn for someone to arrive and ask the question that guards the cave of Christmas: "Are you the one who is to come?" So do not go fearfully into John's wilderness, beaten from civilization by others or driven by your own self-loathing. Go simply because it is the abode of wild beasts and demons. And given all you are, you will most certainly feel at home. Wrestle with the rages of the soul. Talk to the twisted. Try no tricks on him. Parade no pedigree. Who you know will not help you. If the children of Abraham and stones have equal standing in his eyes, you will not impress him with anything you pull from your wallet.
Also, do not ready your brain for debate. He's not much for talk. He has washed his mind with sand. Injunctions are his game. If you have two coats or two loaves of bread, share them. Do not bully, do not exploit, do not falsely accuse. Do not object that these actions are economically naive, culturally inappropriate, insufficiently religious. Just do them. Afterwards, you will be unencumbered yet lacking nothing, freer to move, to bend. The entrance of the cave is low.
John's desert is the place between slavery and promise. Out of Egypt, but not yet in the waters of the Jordan. Your sojourn there will burn away the last marks of the shackles and you will stand unfettered. You will be the castle. You will be between the castle and the crowd, between fine garments and reeds shaken by the wind. You will not lord it over others, and you will not be pushed around. Prophet? Yes, and more. But in the thrill of freedom, it will take you a moment to notice what that more really is. In the emptiness of John's desert, you will find yourself waiting, like a bowl who waits for wine, like a flute that waits for breath, like a sentinel that waits for the dawn. You are a highway ready for traffic. And here comes one who seems also to have been waiting, waiting for the construction to be complete. The more is arriving. And there is only one question. Are you the one who is to come?
Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you see and hear."
So they did. The disciples of John returned on the night of Herod's birthday. The music and laughter of the celebration twisted down the stairs to the dungeon beneath the earth. They talked to John through the bars. They could barely make him out in the shadows there.
"We saw a blind woman staring at her hand, first the palm, then the back, over and over again, twisting it like a diamond in the sun, weeping all the time and saying, 'I can see through tears. I can see through tears.'"
"We saw a lame man bounce his granddaughter on his knee."
"We saw a leper kiss her hand."
"We saw a deaf boy snap his fingers next to his ear and jump."
"We saw a dead girl wake and stretch and eat breakfast."
"And the poor we saw were not poor."
They paused. Although there was no light in the dungeon, there was a glow around John. It softened the fierceness of his face, yet took no strength away. When he had preached on the banks of the Jordan, they could not take their eyes off his fire. Now this new light made them look down. Jesus said we would be blessed if these sights did not scandalize us.
John was silent. When he spoke, the words had no urgency. There was no strain in his voice. It was no longer the voice in the wilderness. "The guards tell me that Herod, panting, had promised Salome half a kingdom if she will dance for him. Surely she will ask for me, for I am half a kingdom. I can denounce a king, but I cannot enthrone one. I can strip an idol of its power, but I cannot reveal the true God. I can wash the soul in sand, but I cannot dress it in white. I devour the word of the Lord like wild honey, but I cannot lace his sandal. I can condemn sin, but I cannot bear it away. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world."
"Yet he came to me to go beyond me. He entered the water to rise out of it. He knew I would know him when he came, even though I did not know him before he came. The fulfillment is always more than the promise. But if you hunger and thirst in the promise, you will welcome the one who is not you as all you are and more. Go back and tell Jesus what you see and hear." John, not scandalized but fulfilled, witness to his coming.
"When you told me what you saw and heard, I knew who I was, the cleanser of eyes, but not the sight that fills them, the opener of ears, but not the word that thrills them. A prophet? Yes, and more. Friend of the bridegroom, and more. It was love in the desert, and I did not know it. It was love by the river, and I did not know it. It is love in this cave, and now I know it. Bridegroom myself.
The guards clattered down the stairs, their impotent swords drawn. They pushed aside the disciples and unlocked a dungeon of light to find John dancing, his feet moving to the long-ago memory of womb kicks. He was about to lose his head to Herod, but yet he had lost his mind to God.
The cave of Christmas is hidden in the center of the earth. You will need a lamp for the journey. A man named John is a step ahead of you. His torch sweeps the ground so that you do not stumble. He brings you at your own pace to the entrance of the cave. His smile is complete, perfect, whole, lacking nothing.
Inside there is a sudden light, but it does not hurt your eyes. The darkness has been pushed back by radiance. You feel like an underwater swimmer who has just broken the surface of the Jordan and is breathing in the sky. John is gone, notice, from whom the light is shining, the beloved child.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Help unwrap the holiday spirit this season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to help children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit. Sponsor a family, donate a toy, or volunteer with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries and the wonderful music of Denise Lagilia on flute and Jerry Gallipo on piano. That's a CD called Holy Light, Father Cusick. That's one of my all-time favorite CDs, Christmas CDs, Advent CDs. It just kind of bridges that gap between Advent and Christmas and really fills your soul.
And we hope you enjoyed our interpretation of John Shea's The Man Who Was a Light. And that's why we would hope that you might want to upload some of the reflections that we're doing today.
Yes.
To give us some space and some peace as we move ever closer in the frenetic pre-Christmas rush.
And if you're looking for that peace, it can be found in his book, Starlight. It's Starlight. A wonderful book of more Christmas meditations.
Yeah. Well, I believe we are joined by one of my very favorite people, Father Michael Spiro. Good morning, Father Michael.
Good morning, Father Cusick.
How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Kate.
Good morning, Father Spiro. You're one of my favorite people, too.
Thank you.
Blessed Advent to you.
And just several weeks ago, actually a week ago last Saturday on December 3rd, Kate and I and Father Michael were able to join together in a day called Longing for the Light, practicing hope in times of discouragement, an Advent day of prayer. And it was, Michael, as you know, it was a wonderful experience for me to have the privilege of working with you and to have Kate share such pretty music with the people who were there. And it was a wonderful experience.
It certainly was a very prayerful day, sponsored by the Office of Young Adult Ministry in Caris and the Institute of Pastoral Studies of Loyola University. And we had about 50 people there that gathered at the Water Tower campus of Loyola University for taking a full day of reflection, which is very difficult to do, as you were just saying.
Sure.
This is such a busy time, too. But what really helps us, if we can dedicate that time and set some quality time aside to remember what the season is all about.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, Father Michael, that's what we're trying to do this morning with our little monthly radio show, is give people a chance to put some peace in their life and a little bit of space between the frenetic time of the year. And we've asked you this morning, I'm a great believer in the Ignatian spiritual traditions, and you incarnate them so very, very well. You have been, you know, someone who communicates that through word and strategy. And we're just wondering this morning if you might be able to spend a little time with us and maybe walk us through just some of the strategies to meditate, to reflect a little bit. How do you do that? Give us some of those skills, you know, so that when we need a little time, you'll say, well, here's a way to use that time. Does that make some sense?
It certainly does.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
So I've been a Jesuit now for 43 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And
you're an old guy.
An old guy, yes. And I've been here at the Bellarmine Retreat House out in Barrington now for 11 years, 9 years back in the 1990s, and I've been here now for a year and a half. And let me just begin by going back to that previous point of, if we want to draw closer to the Lord, we need to give the Lord quality time. And there are so many demands on our time this day, especially with families and especially for young adults. There's so much to do.
Exactly.
But to give the Lord quality time each day, even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes, and to say, Lord, this is time that I'm going to set aside for you. Our retreat house here at Bellarmine is dedicated toward giving people the opportunity to get away from ordinary time and enter into the extraordinary time that is soaking in God's grace. So strategy number one is make a conscious decision to set aside some time for the Lord. Number two, St. Ignatius was a great believer in the power of imagination, and all of us love to daydream, and whether we think of ourselves as imaginative or not, all of us have that capacity to daydream from time to time. And early on in his conversion, when he was a young adult, what St. Ignatius discovered was that his daydreams could bring him closer to the Lord, or they could bring him further away. But pay attention to the direction in which your dreams, your daydreams, are moving. And so he developed a whole school of prayer of guided reflections, or guided daydreams, if you will. And as you and I were talking about this radio show, John, we thought it would be helpful if I could maybe set the context for suggesting a particular meditation that I think would be helpful at this time of year.
Exactly.
Good. Here's the background. About 30 years ago, I had the opportunity to go over to the Holy Land with a good friend of mine, Father Mitch Pacwa, no stranger to Relevant Radio. And while we were there, I stumbled into the Church of the Nativity at noontime, not knowing that the church is always locked up, so nobody gets into the church at noontime because all the churches in the Holy Land are locked. Well, I didn't know that. And that particular day, they had forgotten to lock the church, and so I had this extraordinary privilege of being able to go down into the grotto at the Church of the Nativity, the site where tradition marks that Jesus was born. And I had the most powerful guided meditation that I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
I closed my eyes, and it was like Mary appeared and handed me the child Jesus. That freaked me out. Mm-hmm. That had never occurred to me in my wildest dreams to imagine myself holding the child Jesus. But it was an extraordinary grace, and that experience changed my life. And so I've started writing Christmas poems and reflecting on that experience, going back. Some teachers call those touchstone experiences, where we need to remember the graces that have powerfully impacted our life, so we go back to them again and again and again. One of the things that St. Ignatius taught was, it's not so much new information that delights the soul as relishing familiar truth. So when I came to Bellarmine in the 1990s, and since I've come back, I've started leading people in guided meditations. And in particular, that experience of going to Bethlehem and imagining that they're there and that Mary is handing them the child Jesus. Well, I left in the year 2000, and I was gone for 10 years, and I came back to Bellarmine, and people didn't remember my name, and they didn't remember what I talked about, but they said, hey, aren't you the guy who took us on that guided imaginary trip to Bethlehem? And I said, yeah, that was me. That said, that's something powerful, that they didn't remember my name or what I talked about, but they remembered that experience, because it's a very intimate, personal experience that comes out of our own subconscious. And that's what I want to recommend to people this Advent, that they take some quiet time, burn a candle, put the phone on mute, put a do not disturb time. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be 10 or 15 minutes, perhaps some quiet, soothing music. I always find it helpful to light a candle, maybe wrap yourself in your favorite blanket, and just close your eyes and imagine that you're being invited, as the shepherds were, as the magi were, as Joseph was, to go with Mary to Bethlehem. And as extraordinary as that may seem, imagine that you're there in the cave, and that you're watching the child, that you're seeing what the shepherds saw, that you're seeing a little bit later what the magi saw. And the wonderful thing about your imagination is, don't try and control it, but allow it to go in the direction in which it wants to go. And perhaps Mary will place the child in your arms. Perhaps she'll just invite you to kneel at the crib, at the manger. See what unfolds, because it's a very personal experience of prayer. That's very different than reading about. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. John of the Cross. He had some wonderful poetry, wonderful meditations, but that was John of the Cross's experience. What St. Ignatius says is, each of us are invited to have a personal, intimate experience of Jesus, and that changes our lives. so that's my suggestion that comes from our Ignatian tradition.
That's a wonderful one.
Set some time aside to allow ourselves to go into that cave at Bethlehem, to imagine ourselves as one of the players in that scene. Maybe we're a shepherd, maybe we're a magi, maybe we're midwife to Mary and assisting with the birth. Maybe we're a homeless person who wanders in and just needs a place in the cold. Let our imagination tell us who we are as we come to meet the child Christ.
Wonderful. So we're going to have a part in that.
That's it. And this past Advent, or this Advent, as I was reflecting on that experience, as I do, as I said, it's a touchstone experience for me. It's going back to that experience year after year and renewing the grace and letting it deepen. I wrote a poem, which I sent out to many of my friends as a Christmas card, and I'd like to share just part of that, if I could.
Absolutely.
Here's how I reflected on that experience this year. Blinded by light, with no wisdom of my own, I stumbled into that cave by surprise, to be graced when you placed your son in my arms. This tiny godchild, so utterly humbly human, he could not even hold his own head high. My calloused heart shuddered, shattered, cracked wide to the Christ gift given. Balm blessing the blisters of my soul, love radiating the cancer of my sin. On my knees, I beheld him. I held him. To my Bethlehem of memory and imagination, every year I know now I must return, lest I forget, lest ashes of regret smother this fire, this joy of holy pilgrimage. Behold the holy face of God. He is still smiling at me, at us, not as in a crowd, but held in his singular gaze. Fear is forgotten in the silence of this night. This is the advent of grace, mercy in abundance, Christmas.
Wow.
Wow, that was beautiful. Oh.
Thank you.
Wow. I heard it again for the first time.
Each one of us need to enter into our memory and our imagination,
exactly.
Because that's our Catholic tradition. It's not only the Ignatian tradition. The Catholic tradition of Christianity places great, great emphasis on entering into our imagination, stimulating our senses. And this season is such a sensual season.
Oh, absolutely.
Of lights and smells and colors and sights and wonderful, wonderful stories.
And Father Michael, the story of the advent of this Christ in Luke's gospel is so experiential. It so lends itself to imagination.
Absolutely.
As the time arrived for her to give birth to her firstborn, placed him in a manger. Oh, I mean, you can see it. I mean, you feel like you're there, like you have mentioned, when you were in Bethlehem holding the child.
Can I share that scripture? That's from
chapter 2. Yeah, would you please? This is from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests."
Isn't that wonderful?
Those are the words that we need to return to year after year,
sure,
in memory and imagination. And remember that it didn't just happen then, it's happening now.
Exactly. Wow. You know, and Michael, you never get tired of hearing the story.
And Jesus' favorite way of preaching was by telling stories, because he knows that a really great story, as John Shastay says repeatedly, a really great story invites us to enter in as one of the players in the story. We're not just looking at it from a distance. It's like the window becomes a mirror, and it reflects back to us our own lives. And there are no stories more powerful in the Scripture than the story of the birth of Jesus.
Father Leo Mahon, one of the great mentors of my life, the pastor emeritus of St. Mary of the Woods, and one of the great disciples of the Latin America when he was in Panama, said, "What makes the Christmas story so fascinating is all of us have seen and held a little child."
Yeah.
You know, for us, not our own, Michael, but maybe a niece or a nephew or a godson or a goddaughter. And you can't help but think that this is the divine intervention in humankind.
Yes. And I just had my nephew and his wife, David and Wendy, visited from Portland, Oregon, and they brought their little son, Jace. And I went over to my sister's, and Jace is such a gift of grace within the family that to hold Jace, to receive an embrace or a hug or a little kiss or a smile, lights up the room. And that little boy was the center of everyone's advent. All eyes were fixed on him.
Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of power in that little tiny human being.
And Michael, go ahead.
That's the gift, I think, of Jesus coming into this world. He sneaks in under our radar. He sneaks past our defenses into our heart. There's no protecting ourselves from an innocent young child.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I've always suggested to people, and I will do again Sunday when I do my adult appreciation of the Christmas story, that wander up on Christmas Day or during the Christmas season to the Christmas crib that is set up in each one of our churches, and just linger there a little bit and watch a young couple come up with their little children, and then all of a sudden the little child says, "Mommy, who's that? And Daddy, what's this?" And then watch this adult couple, young adult couple really with little children, begin to tell the story all over again to the next generation. And watch not just a wonder in the eye of a child, but keep your eye on the countenance of a mom or dad as they become the proclaimers, very much like those shepherds, of the good news of Christ among us. It's a great, it's a wonderful experience. It happens every year in our churches. So, folks, set some side of time, as Father Michael has said. Fire up that imagination. Daydream in the best sense of that word. get your imagination going with the colors and the people and place yourself in that scene. Oh.
Michael, can you give us a resource? I know people asked, even after our meditation on the day of Advent, you know, where can I go? That meditation was so powerful. Any sense of a tool, a resource for us?
Yes. If folks go to heartoheart.org, www.heartoheart.org. I just came out with a Advent meditation of guiding people in that prayer of imagination to imagine themselves going to Bethlehem. It's called Treasures from the Heart, with music by Bobby Fischer. And there's a second meditation with Mary, Our Mother of Mercy, with a colleague, Betsy Beckman.
Great.
Fabulous.
So you want to get on your computer and go to heartoheart.org, and you will find Treasures from the Heart. And those are Father Michael Sparrow's wonderful, wonderful reflections. Peace, my friend.
Peace to you.
Thank you,
John. John and Kate, thank you. Great being with you.
Have a blessed, blessed Christmas.
Thank you.
God
thank
bless
you and all our listeners.
Yes, thank exactly. You. Thank you.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about holiday trees and Christmas trees. We'll take you to a toy parade where Chicago firefighters and paramedics brought hundreds of bicycles to Catholic Charities. And we'll show you why many people think Father Augustus Tolton, the first American diocesan priest of African descent, should be canonized.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Father Michael Sparrow,
yes,
who shared his wonderful, wonderful reflections. And we've been delighted to have the music from World Library Publications today. They are good friends of Young Adult Ministry, and the music they provide is awesome. So you might want to jump onto their website.
Sure. And once again, Father Sparrow has got a couple different CDs. The one that I find so helpful during the Holy Week time is his narrative on the Passion and Death of Christ. And you can get those at heartoheart.org. I looked them up yesterday, and I ordered a couple of them for myself. Folks, we'd like to...
And they're great Christmas presents.
Oh, they are.
And music or the stories from Michael Sparrow, the fabulous ideas. If you need a last-minute gift, go for it.
We hope that our time together today has been helpful to the extent that it opens up our heart a little bit and our soul. You know, we're always using our mind and figuring things out in a very busy world. And as Father Michael mentioned, that you know, we got to set aside some time. What I try to do sometimes on Sunday night is just light a candle and turn the lights off and just be still. It's so hard to be still because we're going all the time. But when I find I can do that, then there are other things within inside of my soul can speak to me. We'd like to share with you two things that are coming up in the world of young adult ministry. One is this Sunday, 18 December, and I am very, very privileged every year, a couple times during this Advent season, to do what is called an adult appreciation of the Christmas story. The Christmas story, you know, it's wonderful, and we have baby Jesus, and it's not a children's story. This is powerful gospel. And this is an opportunity for me, from 9:30 to 11, I will be doing it this year at Old St. Patrick's Church. I did it last week at Catholic Charities for the Junior Board of Catholic Charities. It's always a wonderful opportunity to break open the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, where we find ourselves with three kings and King Herod and a star.
Lots of things going on in those stories.
The imagery is
so
wonderful.
Rich. Yeah.
And why Christmas is December 25th and how that positions itself against a pagan Roman world and all these wonderful things that are connected to Christmas. And that'll be this Sunday, and that'll be in the Old St. Patrick's office building, which is at 711 West Monroe. I'm sorry it's not on tape or CD or anything like that. It's something you have to attend, and it's usually pretty much fun. But that would be this Sunday from 9:30 to 11 o'clock. And Kate, the last thing we have?
Yeah, we want to invite everybody to a very, very special Midnight Mass celebration. We will be right here where the studio is at St. James Chapel within Archbishop Quigley Center. So
right.
The Quigley Building on Pearson and Rush Street. Father Cusick is going to lead us all in prayer. We've got some great music that's going to happen. We begin with Christmas carols at 11:30. And of course, Mass is at midnight. What a sacred time of the year.
And what a sacred place, St. James Chapel.
Yes.
Is one of the real,
yes, yes.
And I really believe, folks, that for me, I only can speak for Father Cusick, that there's only one night a year you can celebrate Midnight Mass, and that's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
To me, it's the most Catholic night of the year, and to me, it's the most Catholic hour of the year. I don't have much family left. My mom and dad have gone to God, and I don't have siblings, and I've repositioned my Christmas, and my Christmas is in the spirituality of the event. And for me to have the privilege of presiding at Christmas Midnight Mass. And some people are just looking for maybe a different experience. There's a lot of searchers and seekers in the world of young adults. This is for every people of all ages. Mm-hmm. But if you know somebody who is just sort of wandering the earth and looking for a place perhaps to pray at Christmas, it's very simple. It's basically a choose-up choir. We've got a couple people who are gifted singers and players who will be with us. And that begins, as Kate mentioned, at 11:30 Christmas Eve. We celebrate Mass at midnight, mm-hmm. In the most Catholic hour, to me, of the year.
Yes, yes. And then we want to let everyone know, if you're looking for something to do, you've got some time, you want to attend a Christmas party, young adults, we have a list of activities for those in their 20s and 30s on our website.
Right.
We have that wonderful calendar of events that posts things that are happening throughout the Archdiocese. So just join, get on the website, yamchicago.org. Again, yamchicago.org. Click on that calendar of events, and you will see all sorts of options.
And you'll get the location for Midnight
yes.
Mass on the corner of Pearson and Rush Streets. That's one block north of Chicago Avenue and one block west of the Magnificent Mile. And we hope that you have a very, very blessed Christmas. And may the stillness of this season reveal to you Emmanuel, Christ among us.
Is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. weeks.